Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is December the 3rd. Wade's Friday. The rest of our Wednesdays, of course, Wade is here along with Brad.
Technically, no. It's more of my Sunday right now.
That is true. You do work tomorrow due to a series of unfortunate events.
Yep.
Really? Your box is that Snicket guy?
Lemony Snicket. Yeah. Snicket. I don't know what it is.
Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events.
Is it Snicket?
Yes.
Cool.
Snickers?
Snickers?
Snickers. No. You're just not quite yourself, man. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. Wade?
I'm pretty well myself.
Good, good.
We've been, we've had a few difficulties over the weekend. Wade, the brakes have been worn down to the point of not safe driving, plus the fact that it's now raining out here. So, in Wade's car, at least, that he's driving right now. So, he took my truck last Wednesday, only to find out that Friday morning, the battery was then dead. So, either a door was left open or whatever for 2 days. And so, he wasn't able to go to work Friday like he was supposed to, right? You had to work Friday?
Yeah. Friday? No. Yeah, I worked Friday.
You worked Friday, so you had to take your car up Friday. Luckily, it wasn't raining at that point.
That's when the brakes, gave way.
Or they really expressed their wear and tear.
Yeah.
So after a couple of days of trying to charge battery or jump the truck, it was no luck, so we had to replace the battery in that. In trying to jump the truck with the Durango, we somehow managed to kill the battery in the Durango. So, and that one we've tried to have charged for a few days, and it is beyond saving, apparently. So, we bought a new battery for the truck, and now it looks like we got to spend another $100 on a battery for the Durango. Woohoo.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that, like I said, the brakes were going out, so brakes are on order for the Durango. And the four-wheel drive system in the truck isn't working the way it should, so I've got to get that into the shop. But we need to be able to do one before the other because we can't be without two cars at the same time for obvious reasons.
Wade knows where there's a good mechanic shop.
Yeah, San Bernardino. They'll take care of it nice and cheap. Oh, Wade.
He still owes me $2,500.
Yep. He hasn't paid a cent out of his court settlement.
I'm shocked.
That he didn't turn up to.
Yep. So action's going to have to be taken to try to collect on that.
But there is some good news.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Good news is on Black Friday, although we're not big Black Friday shoppers, we decided to hit up Staples because we were both looking for a couple office chairs, and we found a chair that was originally priced at $170, thought it was marked to $120, found out it is actually marked to closer to $90, only for it to ring up at the register closer to $80.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we both picked up a couple of chairs.
I love deals like that.
Isn't it great when it works out in our favor?
It doesn't happen often, which means when it does, it's just even better.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, we each got ourselves a chair and a whiteboard for future endeavors.
So yeah, we picked up some little cheap whiteboards so we could easily express if recording is in process or not.
Soundless.
So you could write emoticons on the whiteboard to each other?
Pretty much.
Well, we have one each.
Kissy faces, you know.
Smiley face, middle finger.
Exactly.
Recording, jerk.
That's right. Cool.
But let's see. And then Saturday, the rest of the weekend was just spent taking care of house stuff. I was kind of talking to the kid about going to the movies, and she was kind of bummed that that never happened because we were just too busy getting everything else taken care of. So
Even though the weekend before we went and saw Mockingjay, so.
Yep. But I brought up going to see The Hobbit, and my daughter's like, well, yeah, if you take me. And it's like, oh. she's already throwing it in my face.
She's so, got your number, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm on the hook big time.
I thought we were going to save The Hobbit for Christmas or something.
Nothing's been discussed. No plans have been set in stone.
It's a fantasy movie.
No,
we usually do
but
fantasy
I can
movies
guarantee she will remember you said you would take her.
I know.
You're not getting out of that now.
I'm so screwed.
That's awesome.
What about you?
Our weekend. We had our Thanksgiving a little early because of the whole visiting other family members coordination. So we had our Thanksgiving Wednesday, which was actually really nice. Just a small little us Thanksgiving, and then we dropped the kids off with their grandparents for their Thanksgiving. And, first of all, Thursday morning, we went to see a movie. We went and saw Penguins of Madagascar.
Awesome.
So we can get to that during movie time. So once we dropped the kids off with grandparents, we hopped a flight to Buffalo, New York. Spent the long weekend in Buffalo, Niagara-on-the-Lake, up into Canada. The last two, anyway. Niagara and Niagara-on-the-Lake are in Canada. So we spent the weekend a fairly decent amount out of the country.
I thought Buffalo was, like, drenched in snow.
So there was a very narrow corridor that got really, really badly hammered. And I don't know if we just weren't in that corridor or if it had been swept away and melted. By the time we were there, it was in the high 40s and low 50s.
Not bad.
So, yeah, not bad for the, you know, start of winter.
I've just been seeing on sites, it's like, Buffalo, 5 feet. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, they definitely got hammered. And so while we were up that way, I don't know if either of you guys are familiar, but there is a hydroelectric power station that is powered by the Niagara River. And if I remember my facts correctly, it is the largest hydroelectric scheme in the world.
Really?
Yeah. So the power company has like a little mini museum about how they built it and all about the power plant. So we went and toured that, and that's awesome. They actually have the capacity to divert half the Niagara River through the power plant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water to process.
That is a lot of water. It's on the order, I forget the exact numbers, but it's on the order of several million gallons per second.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why aren't we funding this?
Huh? What's that?
Why aren't we funding this?
We are. It's ours.
Yeah, I know. We should do it more. I mean, this is awesome. And the way they've got it built, during times of low demand, where the river diverts, they actually have a several thousand acre reservoir that they can pump water into and store, and then, you know, use the rest of the water for powering the main section of the plant, and then when peak demand hits, they can open the reservoir and they have a secondary generating station that is powered by the reservoir, and the output from the secondary station dumps back into the main channel, which then goes through the primary station again, so they actually get double use out of that water to bump their generating capacity up. It's a really, really cool setup. If you're ever up, not just you guys, but our listeners as well, if you're ever up in the Buffalo, Niagara area, definitely stop in and take a look, because it is fascinating.
Yeah, I've noticed you guys go up there to the Niagara area quite a bit.
Yeah, we like it up there.
And you guys are up there a couple times a year, it seems.
This year, I don't remember exactly. It's either been 3 or 4 times we've been up. Yeah. We definitely prefer the Canadian side. Which, I don't know, I guess it appeals to the expatriate in me, being back in a Commonwealth country. They have a lot of stuff, like in their grocery stores, that you just can't get in America that, you know, remind me a little of home. You know, food and drink that just, you don't get here, it's not part of your culture, and that's fine, but, you know, I can pay a visit up to Canada and get some of that stuff, so.
Sure. No, it's awesome.
Bring it back. You're importing dangerous substances.
Get into the import-export business. Start bringing us some.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing as well is we can go up there and get soda that has real sugar, not that corn syrup junk.
Yep. So, all that shenanigans. Yeah.
all that shenanigans. So it was a good Thanksgiving weekend for us.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, as you mentioned, in the movies, let's jump into movies now. So this week, coming out in movies, we have a huge list of movies coming out. All one. And it is titled
Easy Now.
Pyramid.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. Overwhelmed? I know. Do you want a minute?
Give me just pause for a second. Okay.
Little time to understand it. The geometry of the situation.
Geometry? You mean gravity?
I'm not sure.
Pyramid.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can count that high.
Take your shoes off.
And pyramid
off. Okay.
Is a form of geometry. Go ahead.
It is. I just didn't realize Wade was making the reference back to the movie title.
Ah.
So, you know, all good things. This currently has no critic rating. It is rated R for our viewers to be aware of due to horror, violence, and bloody images.
Wow, sounds that's awesome. Specific.
Right? So the ancient wonders of the world have long cursed explorers who've dared to uncover their secrets. But a team of U.S. archaeologists gets more than it bargains for when they discover a lost pyramid unlike any other in the Egyptian desert. Bum, bum, bum. Not a lot of huge names in this. I mean, Dennis O'Hare is one of the names that I recognize in it. Well, thanks for that, Wade.
Sorry.
Nice and loud. Wade's slurping on some water. And again, it's got no critic rating as of yet. So if you're into kind of the horror, maybe the Indiana Jones vibe or the Mummy movies, by all means, take a look. In the box office, we have Hunger Games Mockingjay number one once again, pulling in an additional $57 million. Penguins of Madagascar pulling in $25.4 million. Big Hero 6, I still think this is a really cute movie, pulled in $18.8 million. And Interstellar, we're bringing in fourth at $15.7
million. Funny note with the song The Hanging Tree, it's the one Jennifer Lawrence sang in the movie.
Okay.
That's actually like number two in iTunes of downloaded.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
So that's pretty crazy. I mean, she's not a singer, but for
it's her version of it?
But it's her version from the soundtrack of the movie, and it's second in paid downloads on iTunes.
There you go.
It's not bad. I like the song, actually.
Not at all. So speaking about Penguins, Brad, why don't you enlighten us?
Sure, be happy to. There's not really a whole lot to go into. It is a typical Penguins movie. You know, they are really fun, really cute. It does have a little bit of backstory, a little bit of prequel at the beginning. The movie is not a prequel, but it does have kind of a flashback prequel-esque start to it to give you a little bit of background. And then it launches into wonderful penguins crime-fighting, world-saving style. Definitely a good watch. Recommend it highly. I am a Penguins fan in the interest of full disclosure. you know,
sure
Penguins
really
and Minions. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they planning a Minion movie?
A what?
Minion movie.
Minions movie? Yes, it is in the works. It's supposed to release next year.
It's crazy how they've actually made two different series of movies, and yet the side characters of those movies now have their own movies
because
they've
garnered
so much admiration.
I think it's awesome.
Well, it's great, and we've talked about this with animated movies before, in that once they've generated the characters digitally, it makes sense to reuse them and not have to go through all that work again and again in creating new movies with all new characters. If they can get two or three or four movies out of a already rendered character, then it's more cost effective that way. And yeah, if they can branch kind of background characters into its own kind of series, then all the more reason.
Now,
I mean, they've been doing the animated series, The Penguins of Madagascar, for a while on, I believe, Nickelodeon. So it's not like it's anything all that new.
Not like groundbreaking, but it's still two different movies where they were mainly
background characters.
Yeah, side characters, background characters, but now have their own, you know, feature films. So.
Yeah, so, I like it. I'm excited. I like both the Minions and the Penguins, and I'm glad they both are, you know, the Penguins have their own movie, and now, you know, the Minions is on the way. Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say. It's a good movie. Go see it. Two flippers up. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Seeing as they have only flippers, you know, high five becomes high one.
High one. High fin.
That's right.
There we go. Awesome.
Definitely go see it.
Yeah, like I said, we were going to try to, but it just didn't work out with what was going on. But I might be on the hook to going this weekend. So we'll see how that pans out.
Did you hear him? He said now. We're done. Podcast now. Out. Later.
Let's go.
Okay. Bye. Have a nice day. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Well, with that being said, let's just jump into some news, shall we?
We're going to start the news off this week on kind of a light-hearted, fairly short note, but continuing the theme of visual entertainment. Obviously, you guys are familiar with the website YouTube.
Oh, just a little bit.
A little bit. Been there a time or two. Actually, we have our own channel there, so check it out. Shameless plug.
Two, actually. One needs to be getting back into it, but we're working on it.
Yep.
Yep. Awesome. So, you guys have both heard the Korean singer Psy's hit song. That was a mouthful. Gangnam Style.
Yes, I'm sorry to say that I am familiar with Gangnam Style.
Come on, it's not that bad.
You're right, it's horrible.
Especially when the guy's like, I'm tired of hearing the song.
Yeah, when the singer of the song says he's tired of performing the song, might be an indication.
Yes, I am so sad that you guys keep paying me money to sing this song. Please stop.
Please stop doing it.
Speaking of how many times it's been played, it has been played so many times on YouTube that it broke the play counter.
I'm not sure if I should be disgusted or impressed.
To be honest, that thing was never really that stable in the beginning. When I can watch a video of a YouTuber that I know is actually pretty famous and it's still stuck at like 301 views. It's apparently not that hard.
No, they usually do that with that. Enlighten us. I have a theory on that, or minimal understanding, but perhaps you could elaborate on the 301 view counter.
I can elaborate on the 301 view counter, and then we will get back to. Actually, let me finish up Psy, and then we'll take the digression.
Okay.
So, when YouTube created the counter that keeps track of how many times a video has been played, the programmers had to make an executive decision. There are multiple ways that a computer can store a numeric value in what programmers refer to as a variable.
Binary.
But binary is one type. There's different types of variables, though. And so they had to make a decision based on what number values a variable could hold, which one to use. So they made a decision based on the assumption that, you know, it's going to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, maybe a couple of million views. So they picked a variable type called a 32-bit integer. Now, let me put this into perspective for what exactly Psy broke. A 32-bit integer will store a count up to 2,147,483,647. Gangnam Style has been watched more than 2.15 billion times.
Again, I don't know if I should be impressed or disgusted.
So, They've got this fixed until Psy does it again. They changed it to a 64-bit integer. Now, this is binary math, not decimal math. So going from 32 to 64 doesn't double the number to 4 billion. It is an exponential type growth. So we will have this discussion again when Gangnam Style has been viewed 9.2 quintillion times.
Ooh, quintillion.
Quintillion.
I know that number.
Big number. You know that number.
I do.
Okay.
How much money your company's lost? I mean...
A quintillion. Quintillion, this is fun fact, everybody, has 18 zeros.
Jeez.
So 1,000 has 3 zeros, 1,000,000 has 4, etc., etc. Quintillion has 18 zeros.
1,000 has 3. 1,000,000 actually has 6, not 4.
1,000, 10,000, 100. Yeah, you're right. Has 6.
Back to math for you.
Back to math for me. A billion has 9, trillion has 12.
Next time you see your kid, have her give you a refresher, okay?
Okay, ooh. Yeah. Third grade math. Lay it on me, honey.
Oh, God. that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, is so rigged.
Yeah.
Fifth grade geometry. What? Anywho.
So, Psy out of the way. Let's go back very quickly and touch on 301 views. So, YouTube actually has the ability to track the number of views in two different ways. And the first way that it does it is a very simple way, but not... it doesn't scale well. So the moment you upload a video, it defaults to this simple way, and that is no matter, because don't forget, YouTube has multiple servers. You're not uploading to a single server. They have servers distributed throughout the world so that no matter which country you're viewing the video from, you know, that there's a server semi-local to you.
Sure. Regional-based servers.
Correct. To help reduce latency. So, the first method is simple but doesn't scale well, and that's what every video defaults to. Now,
okay.
They have a better way of counting, but it takes a little bit more processing power. Now, a little bit more adds up when you're hosting millions of videos.
Yep.
So, somebody, again, made an executive decision. At what point do we consider a video successful enough to take the processing power to go from the simple counting method to the slightly more complex counting method? And the answer is 300. Now, because of the multiple servers that it may be hosted on, it's not an exact right at 300. So, what happens at 300 and right around there, so it'll be 300, maybe 301, maybe 302, but somewhere right in there, is all counting pauses. Any further views, it's not that they're not being counted, but their counts kind of get put in almost like an escrow. And they do some background checking to make sure that this isn't, you know, fraudulent views, because remember, people make money off of YouTube.
Yes, they do.
So once you start getting into the higher view counts, we're talking about potentially some decent money. They want to make sure, okay, are you sitting there with a software loaded on your computer and you're just clicking reload? Or are these legitimate views? So at 300, give or take a couple, they pause the counting to do some, a little bit of checking and to engage the, okay, this video has the potential to go pretty decent, let's go to the bigger accounting method, and then it will re-engage, and all the views that occur during this time will be added in. It's not like you lose the views, but it just kind of pauses around the 300 mark while they figure out where to go from here and then kick it back into high gear.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I've seen popular, successful YouTubers that, like, when they initially upload a video, I mean, almost instantly, it will show 301 views almost until, like their account has been flagged that they will do more. So I think the account defaults to that more aggressive or complex counting method. But because that method doesn't go below 300, it will default their videos starting at 301 until it truly reaches over 300 and can then be legitimately counted with the complex counting factor.
My understanding is it's a per video
system.
It's a per video, not a per account.
Sure.
But so something along those popular lines. Ones have that many subscribers that within the first few minutes they actually do reach 300 views.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I figure, you know, a YouTube account that has 10,000 subscribers, 300 views is easy.
Yeah, and for example, I've caught a video, I mean, seconds after it was uploaded, and it was maybe a 15-minute video. By the time I was done, when it started before, right when I clicked on it, it had showed 301 views. When I was done, it had somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 views.
Yep.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, same deal.
That's why some of the more popular people, more popular videos kind of seem to get hung up right around the 300 mark and then explode.
Yep, fair enough. Well, that was long and lengthy and in-depth. And
well, with all that system, can they please get rid of the one that you click on a video, it says, sorry, not available in your country.
Isn't that annoying?
That could be managed by the provider. Maybe they only upload to their region or whatever.
I know, but if it's not available, why are you showing me? Why are you allowing me to click on it?
Because the internet has to have the space allocated.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah, don't. You're asking questions that will provoke a long-winded conversation that we and our listeners don't necessarily need right now.
DRM.
Nope.
Okay, but my comment was not actually don't tempt me personally. I think that Wade is absolutely correct. They can tell, obviously they can tell where you're from because they know not to show you the video. Well, if you can tell where I'm from, then when I search, don't show me the video.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Don't show
that.
Me something I can't watch. I think Wade's right on that one.
It's true, but the video still has to take up space on an IP. It still has to have its own URL. The location for it still has to exist. It's just a rights situation, not a existing or not existing type deal.
Thank you for mentioning rights.
Shut up.
Moving on.
There's another shirt, DRM, rights. We got three now.
It's too bad no one's making a list.
Could be a DRM drinking game. Wade, what you got?
Yep.
We got Steam throwing their hat into the streaming service with Steam Broadcasting. I don't know why they went with that instead of the Steam Stream. That sounds a lot better, I think. Doesn't it? I think it does.
It's kind of catchy. Yeah. I like it.
Kind of a tongue twister.
You should patent it. Trademark it.
Anytime a user uses it, money to me, I guess. I don't know.
There you go.
Steam Stream, patent pending.
Trademark.
Yeah. Anywho, so yep, this is obviously to try to combat Twitch, which was purchased by Amazon earlier in the year. I think that's the only streaming service that I can think of that's being shot up. The service is only available on Chrome, Safari, and Steam client. So
people can record and post or stream directly to Steam to be viewed through the Steam client.
Yes.
Cool.
You cannot watch a person if they're not in your friends list and vice versa.
That's interesting.
You actually have to be friends with the person to watch them.
Oh, so it's more like a private streaming.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's kind of cool, actually.
I think you should have the option of being a public or private streamer.
Maybe that will come. I mean, they've got to get it off the ground first, seeing as they have had nothing.
Agreed.
Maybe going to a private stream first will allow them to check to make sure that they don't,
overload the system?
Yeah, I was trying to my mind just went completely blank.
Not trying to pull a Blizzard.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going with? That's
the name I was looking for. Yeah, so they don't, you know, have blizzard events.
Which overblows it.
Yeah, yeah. Launch the service and the entire Steam network comes down.
Launch it and watch it fail.
Think of it more.
Some people just like to watch the world burn.
Well, if they do release it to, you know, everyone can watch, think this is a beta test. It's pretty much all I can think about it.
Yeah. No, just do your friends first and let's see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
One more option out there for us. As we always say, competition is good for the consumer and we are the consumer.
Which is then good for the market.
That's right, for the consumers. Absolutely. Competition's not good for the content holders or the service holder. It's good for the consumer.
Which is in, yeah.
Correct.
Yep. Well, Wade,
I'm glad you mentioned Amazon. Big news with Amazon. They are announcing the release of 15,000 warehouse robots.
Are those prices marked down?
were those available on Cyber Monday? No, these are not for sale. Not yet. These are Amazon employees. So previously, workers had to, quote, hike miles of aisle in order to pick the products that we buy that Amazon inventories. Now, a lot of products on Amazon's website, Amazon doesn't stock. It's third party, kind of like eBay. But for the products that Amazon does warehouse, it was up to employees to, you know, trek up and down to find the product, pick the product, and then get it processed for shipping. Well, these
which 15... you have seen in a smaller scale.
Say that again?
I said you have had the opportunity to see that in a smaller scale.
Yeah, in a mere 40, 50,000 square foot building, whereas the Amazon warehouse is massive. When I say warehouse, they have many. So
yes.
But now, with the announcement of these wheeled robots, Amazon is boasting improved efficiency while also giving their workers' legs a bit of a break. The 15,000 robots will crisscross the floors of their biggest warehouse to deliver the products to the employees for shipping. Employees claim the products are being picked 2 to 3 times faster than without robots. That's definitely significant. Definitely see the value there. Although I have a point to follow up on that. So keep that 2 to 3 times faster in the back of your mind there. So Amazon is faced with obviously a big holiday season. The nice thing, though, is that these robots aren't hampering their hiring. They had hired 80,000 seasonal workers. I mean, that's a small town for people to, you know, pick up the slack.
That's bigger than a lot of small towns.
Well, how do you think?
That's a small city, yeah.
A small city.
How do you think Las Vegas was created? It was actually the workers from the Hoover Dam.
Yep. Was that Reno?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Vegas. It was a place for them
to
let the
hair
down.
No, it has to have been Vegas. Reno's too far away.
That's true.
Speaking of which, the way they actually used the river in the Hoover Dam to... but seal the concrete? I don't know if it's seal, but dry out the concrete. And if they didn't use this method, the dam would still be hardening today.
Yes. Interesting. They had to refrigerate it to set it.
They actually, had water from the river flow through the dam pipes to cool the...
How strange. Interesting fun fact. Okay, back to Amazon. So last year, Amazon processed 36.8 million items on Cyber Monday alone.
That's one day, people.
Okay. Their forecast for the holiday quarter for 2014, I get to say the B word, is $27.3 to $30.3 billion.
There's your drink.
For a quarter. And that is up 18% from last year. That's a sizable increase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, a lot of people I talked to on Cyber Monday or following Cyber Monday said that they were actually surprised by the lack of lines. And I think a big reason for that is people doing the Cyber Monday thing. You know, why would I want to go fight people in a store when I can just sit on my couch and order it up?
You meant Black Friday, then to Cyber Monday. Because you said Cyber Monday, Cyber Monday.
Yeah, I meant Black Friday lines. People are more banking on the Cyber Monday deals.
Well, you know, the retailers have gotten so crazy with Black Friday. I don't blame people. I mean, we skipped it.
Yeah.
We didn't need anything. There's nothing that was just, you know, so appealing.
I mean, for the most part, we did too. When we decided to go to Staples in the, I mean, it was 5 o'clock. We said, you know what? There'll be no crowds. We don't know if they're going to have anything. Let's just go over there and poke around. And we got lucky, you know, but it's not like we were camping out or waiting in line or going over after Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. So,
and wouldn't you be camping out at a Staples?
And we don't need another TV. We already have tablets. It's not like we're in need for any of that stuff. So, but back to my statement on the 2 to 3 times faster. When I read that in the article, all I could think about was the scene in iRobot where Will Smith is talking to the head of the company and saying that you show a carpenter building a really nice chair. Then you have a robot that comes in that builds the same chair twice as fast. And it says, whatever, the robot company crapping on the little guy. Yep. And so I just kind of saw that if the robots are this much more efficient, will this hamper an employment factor? Because if he can do it with machines, what do you need the people for?
Well, they hired seasonal workers, but that's not people who are actually going to stay on.
That, and the robots have just been deployed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Conspiracy theories or concerns in the back of my mind to consider.
We definitely have cause for concern coming up. As far, well, Skynet was a good plot device, but it's we actually have the potential in the fairly near future, and I'm talking from a global point of view here, so 20 to 100 years, where we could actually be facing an uprising of artificial intelligence that we've created that may not like us hanging around.
Yeah, and not even necessarily an uprising from a revolt standpoint, but even the concept of more and more quote-unquote robotic workers to replace people, which, you know, it makes you wonder what the country would have to do from an economic standpoint. If you don't have people working, that means people aren't getting paid, which means no money back into the economy, which means no one to buy the products that now the robots are being used to produce or deliver or whatever. So you've got kind of that paradigm, you know, shift that could occur. Sure. That could cause chaos.
There was a quote from Mike Rowe, and I'm going to try to paraphrase here. Percentage of jobs, at least 20% of the jobs right now that are open, of the jobs that are open now, less than 20% of these jobs require less than a 4-year degree. We are giving money to kids who will not be able to pay it back for jobs that are no longer available.
You're talking about student loans and educations that now...
Yep.
You now have to have some kind of degree because you're now going in. It's not people who are picking up the boxes. It's the people who have to program and repair the robots to make these work.
Yep. Well, it's like I love the movie The Internship, the Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson movie. And there was a line in there where they talk about something like 35% of college graduates can't get a job. And now those people, like you said, they've got student loans over their head that are now due or they need to start making payments on, and there's no place for them to go.
Actually, there's a state that has a law where you cannot get out of your car to pump gas. One of the two. Is that the employees have to come and do it for you. This is because it just says that it gives teens just coming out of high school a place for job experience.
The interesting thing about some of those cities, the states like Oregon and New Jersey, their price for gas is the same as is in Southern California, yet they have people on staff hired to pump gas. Added wages, added expenses, yet their gas prices are the same as down here.
New Jersey is of the cheapest gas in the country.
Explain that to me. It makes no sense. Anyway, we've gotten long-winded on a few different topics there. So let's shift gears, Brad.
Sure. So, being the resident Apple correspondent, I couldn't help but notice another Apple story come across my desk. This one's kind of cool from a tech standpoint. Apple was awarded another patent yesterday, so that would be December 2nd for those listening in the future.
Well, as opposed to those listening from the past?
Say again?
As opposed to our listeners from the past that are listening right now?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
There might be a few. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
I'm still waiting on my flux capacitor, apparently.
Well, that's because you don't drive fast enough. Anyway.
No, I just needed the DeLorean.
Those things looked awesome.
They still look awesome. If you can find them.
Agreed.
Anywho.
I've gotten to stand next to one, but that's another story for another time. So, Apple's new patent, just issued from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, attempting to try and prevent those beautiful spiderweb apps that seem to install themselves on your phone whenever you drop it.
I love those apps.
Oh, those?
They're pretty.
Aren't they awesome? Except you can never uninstall them.
But it costs about $100.
Yeah. So, using most of the sensors that are currently installed in iPhones, those being the accelerometer, the gyroscope, and the GPS, and also mentioning a new type of sensor, an ultrasonic emitter, to be able to measure distance to the ground and velocity, Apple's patent is for a new way of protecting the phone, and that would be using the built-in vibration motors that we currently use for alerts.
Yes.
The phone would sense that it is falling, and using the vibration motors, be able to reorient itself so that when it landed, it would land in such a way as to do the least amount of damage to the phone. Not that the phone would be perfect or unharmed, but, you know, if the phone could flip itself over and land on its back, or maybe rotate to an edge rather than landing on the screen, to reduce the amount of damage done.
And I saw in the article this was expressed too, that obviously a lot of inspiration for this was like a cat. You know, if you're holding a cat on its, you know, its back facing the ground, and you drop it, they, you know, contort themselves in a way that's crazy to more or less always land on their feet.
That's really cool to watch on slow motion video, by the way.
Really cool. It's almost like their back disconnects. It's weird. But if they can mimic that behavior in technology to prevent a valued $700 phone from, you know, breaking on the first, you know, drop, then, you know, good for us, the consumers. Kind of sucks for Apple from a, you know, if someone breaks a brand new phone, they you know, would have to go buy another one, and that's double the revenue. But apparently they're looking out for the greater good.
All I can really think of is when you said the velocity sensor, I'm just thinking now that's always active on the phone and then is able to test how, or able to read how fast you're driving. It's all of a sudden just like ticket, like not even a
waste. Got a point.
We're going to start getting tickets delivered by Owl Post.
Screw that. You're going to get a text message on your phone. You've just been caught speeding. Fine is due by X date.
Tie into the iMessage system, which can detect when a message is delivered and then when it's read.
There you go. That's just about to say.
Yeah, they text you the fine, and if you read it while you're still driving,
there's another one.
There's another one right behind it.
But beyond that, then it goes to the Apple Pay and automatically dings your account for the fines in order.
How convenient.
I think we just opened up a whole new business model right now.
You're patent pending, by the way.
Jeez, there you go. Thank you. Thank you for covering that.
How can we reserve this stuff? We need to make some money.
Oh, jeez.
That's so great. Wow.
Well, yeah, so anyway, back to more serious topics. This technology is actually kind of cool. I wonder if it, you know, just because they have a patent on it doesn't mean that we will ever see it. But
just like the glass that was hopefully going to be on the 6th, that wasn't.
That wasn't, yes, the sapphire crystal.
Correct.
But, you know, this isn't the first time electronics have technology built in to protect themselves. A major hard drive manufacturer, going back probably about 5 years or so, I want to say either IBM or Western Digital, put an accelerometer in their hard drives for their laptop drives. That way, when you drop the laptop, they could shut down the hard drive so that when the computer hit the ground, you didn't bust the hard drive.
Nice.
Yeah, so the concept is not new, but the obviously to do this on a phone required some creative engineering, and Apple's pulled it off again. So it'll be interesting to see if this makes it to market.
Yeah, like you said, it's one thing to have the technology, it's another thing to use it.
Exactly.
So, okay.
They just hold on to it, and so when someone does it, like, we have a patent on that, you don't need to pay us.
Companies exactly. have done that. Companies have made a good living doing that.
A lot of times they file defensive patents.
Yep. Prevent someone else from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Wade, over to you.
Speaking of defense moves and companies, a certain entertainment company, with its two biggest acquisitions this year, speaking of Disney and their purchases of Lucasfilms and Marvel, there's actually a good chance that we will see both Star Wars characters and Marvel characters in the upcoming Kingdom Hearts 3 game.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, they're doing the whole Marvel thing with the Disney Infinity deal. They're using a lot of the Avengers characters in that. So I don't, you know, what's to stop them from porting that over into a different Disney title?
Well, people apparently, you know, really want to, really looking forward to now being able to fight stormtroopers or some heartless version of stormtroopers in with their buddy Obi-Wan or Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars world, or jumping up with the Avengers and of Hulk and Iron Man, Black Widow, and all those guys in the Marvel world. So, I mean, if
you know what I want to do. I want to go out on that epic field during the Clone Wars, the Clone Wars, and use Thor's hammer.
Just play dominoes with the clones.
I will wipe out the droids.
Imperial army.
Yeah.
Heartless Republic.
I don't think they're going to do, like, Thor's now in Star Wars. I don't think that's going to work like that.
Well, I mean, if it's Hearts or Kingdom Hearts, it's already a collage of all different Disney characters.
Well, yeah,
you've had the princess genres with Aladdin or whatever, and then you've got the core Disney of Mickey and them. Why not be able to port both Star Wars and...
Well, it's, yeah, they're different, but they're not, like, mashing the two things. In Kingdom Hearts, the games have always... You can travel to these different worlds and interact and have the storyline with the people in that world. They're not like, this person from this world is going to go to this person from this world, or this world here, and start wrecking face with you.
That sounds
awesome.
So you're
saying I can't fly over Cloud City with Iron Man?
That's what he's saying.
Well, now I'm disappointed.
You know, I talk to Nintendo. But then again, I hear they're not too big on Western customers telling them how to make their games.
Kingdom Hearts is a Nintendo game?
It's a Sony game. Still.
Okay.
Still sits under they're not too big on having Western people tell them how to do the game.
If it's the American studio and not the Japanese studio, it probably doesn't matter.
Mm. I still stand
by it. That would be interesting.
I still stand by it. I mean, it'll be fun to play with those characters from Star Wars and Marvel, but, you know, it just seems there's going to be a very good chance, and I can't wait. Even though that I'm like 25, I still really want to play Kingdom Hearts 3.
You just want to play with Mickey.
That sounded wrong.
It was intended to. Well, speaking of Sony, Sony Entertainment, actually, they are struggling. It's now been 8 days after a cyber attack. Well, it was, and when I saw this article, this could be a few days old, actually. The cyber attack used a, let's see here, highly destructive malicious software. This was designed to truly wipe out the computers. It wasn't just a bug to slow it down. It wasn't a data siphoning. It was a system killer designed to knock out the network, designed to knock out the systems. Some of the employees have been given new computers to replace the ones that had been attacked. But that's far to say that they have successfully remedied their issues. They have investigators combing for evidence to try to identify who the culprit may have been. And some interesting speculations have come up. Some people are pointing to North Korea.
Yep, I actually was going to speak of this.
Because of their upcoming comedy movie, The Interview, with a plot to assassinate North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. I think that might be a bit of a stretch, but, you know, in this day and age, anything's possible, I guess.
I think it is a bit of a stretch from the reports that I've read. I mean, nothing's been ruled in or out definitively, but the way the attack was done, the type of attack, it's just kind of sloppy for the level of technicality that a nation state would have.
Well, additionally, I mean,
you figure by the time you get to that level, it doesn't matter whether it's North Korea, South Korea, Germany, the United States, you know, the U.S. version would be the NSA. We're talking about major knowledge pools. This attack was sloppy to be a nation state kind of attack.
Plus, a nation like North Korea, I doubt their target would be a film company.
Oh, yeah.
I think they got bigger fish to fry. So the likelihood of it being, you know, North Korea because your movie threatens our leader, I think they're not spending their time watching comedy movies to figure out who their next political target is. What is interesting that I read, and Brad, maybe you can validate this or not, the only computers that were affected were Windows-based machines. The employees that had Mac machines were unaffected by the virus.
I haven't seen that definitively defined.
According to an insider to Sony, who wasn't necessarily qualified to speak on this, claims, or at least the article I read claims that they stated it was only Windows-based machines. Now,
so this is that comes from piecing together two different reports. The Sony insider has given some details, and there was also an FBI memo that lists the virus but doesn't say who was attacked. And by kind of meshing up some of the characteristics of the two different reports, it's like, okay, the FBI memo is most likely about Sony.
Yeah.
In which case, the files, the malware's payload files are Windows-specific files. So, hey, it's good to be a Mac user.
This time.
Yeah.
If you worked at Sony.
So, I have mixed feelings about this. This is not the first time we've covered a significant security breach at Sony Entertainment.
Well, and beyond that, too, this is being said as the first major attack of a U.S. company using this type of malicious software. Not this specific software, but software like it.
Yeah. But, you know, we covered this a while ago, where you remember when Sony's, what's your online gaming, your version of Xbox Live?
PlayStation? PlayStation Plus?
PlayStation Go, Plus, PlayStation a lot of Live. Passwords got hacked. You remember that?
Yes.
And it turns out that Sony hadn't even done basic encryption on them. All the passwords were stored in a plain text file.
That's awesome.
It's like, how stupid can you be?
Here's the silver platter, and...
Yeah.
And I bet the file was labeled passwords.txt.
And probably. Now, hit us in the face with it, please.
Yeah. So, you know, part of me is like, I wonder if this was stepped up that much, or have they just not learned? I mean, they've had issues before.
They went, oh, that's the gaming side. We don't need to worry. And all of a sudden, boom! Someone went... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. So the information that was taken in this, there's reports that possibly up to 100 terabytes of data was stolen.
I do remember that.
That's significant.
That actually some of the movies were leaked for pirate download, illegal download as well.
So the data includes things like the list of employee salaries and bonuses, their social security numbers, their birth dates, HR records, including performance reviews, criminal background checks, termination records, medical conditions, passport information. It's some pretty major stuff. And then the minor stuff, comparatively speaking, is, yes, they got a script for an unreleased pilot for a TV series by the guy who made Breaking Bad, and several movies that have not yet been released in theater.
Part of me, when I read this article, I wondered if, and we've talked about the cybersecurity firm Anonymous and how they've pointed out the very, or more accurately, the lack of security with some of the new Windows systems, specifically Windows 8.
Cybersecurity firm? I think they're just more of a group of hackers, aren't they?
Yes.
Essentially, but they're not doing things to...
That was very generous on your part.
It was. But they find bugs and things, and they don't necessarily... They'll kind of call attention to it, and then if nothing happens, then they'll really call attention to it.
Oh, yeah. They let you know and say, hey, you know, we're going to do this unless you do something about it.
Well, it's more like, hey, you got a problem over here, and a month goes by, it doesn't get fixed. Well, then they... We'll take advantage of that problem. But they've made publications about some of the issues with Windows 8. And I wonder if that was just a catalyst to things like this, other cyber attacks that, you know, maybe aren't getting the same type of publicity because more people are being made aware of some of these security issues in some of these operating systems.
Interesting theory.
It's just a thought.
Yep. Thoughts are good.
Well, I mean, Anonymous doesn't actually do anything harmful. They actually try to work within even the public's best interest.
Yeah.
I'm actually here, they're even going after some feminists.
I heard they were contracted by somebody to for some security, cybersecurity work, but I could be wrong.
You can call them hackers, but, you know, I understand what they're doing. They're basically being white hats without being paid.
Yep, pretty much.
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
No, obviously it's a bit of a stretch, but...
I wouldn't go so far as to call them white hats. A lot of what they do is malicious, and a white hat doesn't do malicious.
Well, I guess, okay, they're doing malicious things for the right reason, which is kind of weird.
Well, a lot of hackers will claim that. I guess the point, though, that we're trying to make, Brad, is that from what I've read, and granted it's minimal, that they don't necessarily seek out these issues to be malicious originally, at least in some cases. They will point out the flaw first, and then if the flaw isn't fixed, then they will be malicious to show just how major of a flaw it might be.
They give fair warning beforehand.
In some cases, I'm not giving them a full pardon.
Yeah.
obviously. No, they're also a major political activist group that will shut you down because you don't agree with them.
Well, like I said, they have actually, I don't want to put a name out, but have gone after a feminist person. They're not doing anything maliciously. They said, you know, go after her, but don't use sexual assault and things like that, because then she'll just turn in saying, I'm being attacked because I'm a woman, when they're saying, be decent, be, you know, about what you're saying. Don't attack her, but attack what she's saying and try to discredit her and show the world that she is full of
baloney.
Thank you.
Yeah, like you said, political activists. And that's all fine and good. I mean, everyone has the right to their own political stances, but when they maybe cross the line, that's obviously the problem. But anyway, that's totally off topic from the fact that Sony had a serious security breach, and 8 days plus after, they still haven't fully remedied the effects.
Even though they're having a party this weekend in Las Vegas.
Yep. Their anniversary.
Yep, 20 years.
they may want to put on some additional security for this.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Several times they've proven their security isn't that great.
Yep, agreed. But, wow, that's right at a little over our hour marker, so I think that's about as good a place to wrap up as any.
As a side note, Blizzard has released a new pet, the Agi, A-R-G-I. All proceeds that go from purchasing this pet do go to fighting Ebola in South Africa. So, and if you want to give in, or not give in, but give up some cash and get a nice little blue ram thing and help a good cause at the same time, there's your choice.
Yeah, there's a lot of charity events out there right now in the gaming industry, so... You know, if you have a little bit of money you can spare for a good cause, please do so.
Absolutely. Always in favor of charity giving.
And with that being said, we thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.